Happy Sunday, boys and girls. Happy Resurrection Sunday. Happy Easter. I turned this thing on to get down the thought in my feeling that though it's Easter, a religious holiday, just like Christmas, I have no urge or inclination, or have I been triggered in the slightest way to post or to create or to maybe even say lash out antagonistically against the views or in opposition to the religious fervor that happens on social media during these days, such as Christmas and Easter. It wasn't that long ago. Actually, it may have been that long ago. But it's been some time now that since I feel
the
question might be, well, why would you want to lash out or be antagonistic or post something in opposition to such people celebrating their religion? And the answer, which flowed much more smoothly in my head when I was thinking this out while I'm walking, was that I feel I made my impact. I feel I've been heard. I feel I've been heard. I feel that after witnessing something that I thought had no basis in logic or evidence, and even where what we do know about it almost contradicts the narrative or the doctrine or the idea of what religion is based on. This is coming out weird and wacky, but I'm gonna have to post it anyway, because I like posting stuff raw, just, you know what I'm saying. I just have no inclination, because, and the question is why, you know, why would I want to? Why would I want to say anything against religion? And it was because I felt I wasn't being heard. I felt like I was seeing something that was just completely illogical to me, and nobody else seemed to see that, or nobody else seemed to be publicly stating that they see that. So I felt it my duty, almost an uncontrollable, I can't even call it an urge. It was like an instinctive reaction to voice my opinion, to say, no, that's not right. And I think about it, I've always been that way. Even all the way back to grade school. If I saw something that didn't make sense to me or I didn't understand, I wanted an explanation. And I would criticize and scrutinize it. So as adults, when I see something like that, you know, I was triggered. I was like, hey, wait a minute. This don't add up. But since then, I have became active in the atheist community. I feel I've made a significant contribution towards the agnostics and the atheist people in support and giving them an avenue or vehicle or an example to where they can voice their belief or non-belief. See, you gotta remember too, this was years ago back before it was accepted or anything to be atheist. So now, you know, I think it's like that battle is won. It's like, you know, I succeeded. That battle is won. I'm good. So I just, you know, I'm cool. You know, now people are probably doing the same thing they've been doing, posting the same way, but it doesn't bother me now because I've been heard. Fast forward to this morning. I wake up, or I go to bed, the memes are flowing. The memes are a flowing. The Tennessee House expelled 3 people, or they voted to expel 3 members who disrupted the meeting on the grounds of violation of decorum or the such. And the narrative or the meme that's being put out there is that they all were the same. They all did the same thing. I mean, people jumping on the bandwagon, screaming racism, screaming that, screaming this. And that triggered me on Easter Sunday. So I did some research. Comes to find out that just like the NCAA championship racism claim between the two players, it wasn't the same. The white lady who wasn't expelled, number one, did not get on the bullhorn or make any vocal demonstration. She just stood there. Number two, she has been on that council or whatever for 10, 12 years, I guess. You know, for a few years. She's 16 years old. She's been on the council for 10, 12 years or something like that. The two black men who went in there were freshmen. This is just like their first go-around. And I can understand checking a freshman, black or white. So not only did, it's like, does the shooter in a murder get the same amount of jail time as the person who drove the car? Or is the person who just happened to aid or abet the shooter? That's my question. Secondly, because the white lady had been on the board for so long, she has a better rapport with the board, with the other council members. They know her. She made friends with them. That in itself is going to sway humans. That in itself is going to sway the vote of humans, regardless of race. And then I come to find out that since she's vested, had she gotten expelled, her health care would have been cut off. So now you have a point of compassion. Forget black or white. You got a 60-year-old white lady who's going to get expelled and lose her health care. Somebody who you've seen work on, somebody you've worked with, you know the ins and outs of them. They probably helped you, benefited you in some way, regardless if they were black or white. So you know them. She fell from getting expelled by one vote. So it wasn't like it was a landslide. If it was racism, it wouldn't have been a one vote thing. And not only that, she was the only one who had a lawyer, who brought lawyers to the hearing, who presented a case. All I'm saying is, it's not the same. That's all I'm saying. It's not the same. But as I said in the NCAA thing, it's more about it's more about the story now. It's more about the conversation than what actually happened or the reality. But for people to so easily claim racism, point the racism thing out in mainstream media, to have the president and the vice president come to make an appearance that gave the optics of support for the two black people and just start screaming racism. For somebody in the situation, somebody on that council, if they were to step up and say that wasn't racism, if they were to try to defend it, they'd be crucified. It's just better for them to stay low. Okay. All right. Yeah, it's cool. Whatever. I'm not getting in that fight. I'm not getting in that fight. You know? So I understand. I guess Sexton was one of the people who may have voiced an opinion. And not only that, if you listen to Johnson, the white lady's name is Johnson, if you listen to her statements, she did not say she thought it was racism. She made statements like, well, that could have been a part of it. That may have played a part in it. She never said it was racism. And her lawyers and her pointed out in the hearing or whatever that she did not speak up. She did not get on the bullhorn. She did not vocalize or say anything. She just stood there. And all I'm saying is, I'm not saying racism doesn't exist. I'm not saying that the Tennessee Council isn't racist. I'm saying that maybe we should look at the evidence before we jump on the "you a racist" bandwagon. That's all I'm saying. And then for the president and vice president to do what they did, to interject like that, and what they did. Either way. See, another thing about the president and Vice President Harris doing that, they could have did it behind the scenes. They could have went, but see, that's not the point. That's the whole beauty of it. It's not the point. The point is to do it for the optics. They could have went behind the scenes, reached out, and fixed it. Nobody had to know. No. And they probably could still be doing that, which I cynically doubt. They still could be doing that, working with, you know, the Tennessee people, trying to get this thing settled down. And they could have done, you know, the optic thing. But why do the optic thing? Why make that, you know, why get that picture? That kneeling, wearing kente cloth optic. That's where it starts to get kind of twisted for me. And so now we're at a point where people can scream racism, people can scream bigot and racism and racist, and get the support of the president. Oh, I mean, that's where I really think that we're going down a very, very, very dangerous road. That's where I think we're going down a very, very dangerous road. And I'm seeing statements out there, circular arguments. I think Kende said something. Well, somebody quoted, and they might be, you know, they might be highlighting or quote unquote misquoting him to get the impact of the soundbite. But he was like, denial is a mainstay of racism. He said, denial of racism is what Jim Crow did, is what the Klan did, is what white supremacists do. So even if you are, and to any of you are not a racist, just because you denied it, now you're associated. He wanted to associate you with Jim Crow and racism. So in defending yourself, he got this. There's a narrative out there, or a meme, or whatever you want to call it, that if you defend yourself, that's what the Jim Crow and them did. It's going too far. It's going too far. And I started this off, I started this whole thing off with the idea of, you know, me not being triggered by Easter, me not being triggered by the religious holiday. And, but now I'm triggered by this. And my talk yesterday was, you know, why am I being triggered? You know, why do I even care about this racist stuff? You know, somebody else being racist. Hell, I'm going to Barcelona. You know, why do I even care if people think people are racist? You know, why do I even care if people think, you know, people are racist? Does it affect me? No. But I'm triggered by it. And I'm not faking trigger. This is some real stuff. I'm laying there and I feel myself getting churned up. And not many things can do that. And I'm grateful to have that. That's kind of where it circles back to, I think we need something like that in our lives. Not need, maybe need a strong word, but we'd like to have something. We want something, not want, but you know, these things work for us. Work, I don't know how to put it, but these things in humans, humans use these things. I use mine. You know, that was something in me subconsciously. I don't know why. It just gets me riled up. And I'm like, why? You don't care. Hell, I'm going to Barcelona. Hell, let me go to New Orleans and work this out. Or let me go do this. Let me go do that. Why am I even letting it affect me? And I think it's because we may or may not enjoy or need or the desire to have something to obsess about. Like now, I laid in the bed this morning, you know, no TV, no music, just laying there chilling, Sunday morning, apartment quiet, Googling no salt foods, Googling no salt sausage, just doing sodium inspections. I've been doing this for a while. This ain't like I just started today. I know it, but I'm just digging into it. And it was enjoyable. I found pleasure in it. And I am obsessing. I am obsessing over my sodium intake. And not only that, I mean, it's good for me. I mean, let's face it. It's good for me. And it's not the obsessing part, maybe. But, and that exercise may be, too, also. To work my brain, to get the juices going over something. That maybe, you know, at least I'm focusing, I don't want to say at least, but I feel that I'm focused on something that directly affects me. Something that is tangible. My blood pressure is high. I need to reduce sodium. And I may be going overboard. But that's what I do. That's my quote unquote obsession. That's my Donald Trump. That's my racism. Working on me to the point that right now, what got me out of bed, other than I just like being outside and walking down Ventura Boulevard and just loving this whole experience of life, was I'm walking to Whole Foods now to see if I could find some low sodium cheese. Literally, I'm literally walking down. I walk down the street to Ventura Boulevard, probably about 2.5 miles. I'm going to walk back, get my steps in. But I'm excited about going into Whole Foods and seeing what kind of, am I walking the right way? I think I am. I think Whole Foods is this way. If it ain't, oh well. I think it's this way. I should check. Let me check. Well, it should be right here. I remember walking by it. I hope it is. I think it's this way, as I remember. I think I walked by it yesterday. I hope. Where's it across the street? I'm just walking. And I'll get there eventually. See, that's my obsession. And I guess obsession might not be the right word, but it's the lazy one that I can figure right now. That's what, you know, I'm into. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe people or humans like to have something that they're into. Goes back to, I can tie it back to faith and belief, where I may not believe in this, the logic of this may not work, that, this or that, but the faith and belief in it, the actual faith itself, is what get things done. It's what makes an impact, not the actual thing that you have faith in, the fact that you have faith. So my assumption now is, how come, I don't know if it's an obsession or a peeve or whatever, but why is it that we can so easily throw the word racist around, racist, 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 when it doesn't fit my narrative? It just contradicts my experience. Maybe I'm defending my reality. Maybe I'm defending my reality. And I do feel that, and I will admit that defending this point of view, going against the grain, I've always done that. I've always been contrary. Always. Ever since I was young. Grade school, third, fourth grade. I've always been contrary. I had never had a problem going against the mainstream or what everybody else thought. Especially if I thought I was right. And the boy thought he was smarter than everybody at a very early age. And more articulate. And with that knowledge and confidence that he can out-talk and out-logic anybody. At a young age, I may not have utilized that skill wisely. I may have wielded it like a wild, crazy sword, just chopped up whoever's head got in my way. But there's something in me, deeply in me, that makes me want to go against the prevailing idea of the way things are. And as I said, I'll admit that I know or I believe this can bring me more notoriety. Or do I want notoriety? This can build up whatever it is I'm doing, get me more attention. Fame, even money, whatever, become popular, become this or that, so that I can better get my philosophy out. Maybe I'm building a religion, maybe I'm building a philosophy, maybe I'm just putting it out there because I've seen how other philosophers developed and came up and became famous. Maybe I'm doing it digitally through video. Joseph Campbell wrote all these notes out and stuff. And somebody found it or whatever, and that worked for him. Mine's to be in digital form. That's why I want to build the legacy. I want to go down in history. I'll admit that, okay. That I got a cop to. I want to go down in history as being somebody who brought up this point and was later proven correct. I want to go down in history as somebody who may or may not have started the atheist revolution on YouTube. I mean, I got ego. Don't think I don't. And don't think there's more materialistic or, I don't know if I could say narcissistic, but more, you know, me, me, me. There's a me, me, me part about this too. But there is something deep in me that just makes me want to just, almost, I have to disagree. It's like, I have to say this. It's not the same. It is not the same what happened to those three council members, the two and the one. I mean, just on the fact that the 60-year-old woman could lose her just the fact that a 60-year-old woman could lose her health care is enough not to expel her. And like I said, if it was racism, the vote wouldn't have been so close. She still almost got expelled. By one vote. They failed by one vote. So I'm thinking there's more than going on in that. And then for us to throw around the it's the same thing, I think we're going down a dangerous road. And I want to be, and if you just want to break it down to more simpler, he just thinking about himself terms, you can say, because he wants to be the first one to have said that and be proven right in 5 or 10, 15 years. Because to be honest with you, I don't even know why the urge is into me to say this. I don't, but it's real. And I believe I have an argument and logic. I did study, I studied. I went and copied web pages, document of what people said happened. I'm not going on the meme that I see. I'm not going on, oh God, racism again, without, you know, fact checking. And not even fact check, just doing a little bit of, you know, a little bit. Just a little bit of, hey, is that how it went down? That's all I'm saying. So I guess I got it going a little bit, and I think this came out a little better. I'm glad I got the story down. I think I got all the points regarding the Tennessee House of Representatives thing and the difference between the two. Like I posted the difference between Angel and Caitlin and NCAA thing that I don't think a lot of people knew. They just, you know, flew with the meme. And to go against it in certain circles, not the thing to do. It's just not the thing to do. Anyhow, swinging on y'all two times. For me, for the funk. And for every elementary particle that has ever existed in this or in any universe that ever was, is, or will be. The totality of it all. A theory of universe. An hypothesis of all is one. Did I say the totality of it all? I forgot. Anyhow, my name is Jeffrey.